Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. It is a funny thing when you consider perspective. When you ask how have you been treated, we think about that a lot. We think about how someone else has done things to us, how cruel people might have been, how we didn't like this and we didn't like that. But rarely in our thought process do we think about how we treat other people. See, when we think about things like this, we always think that we've done a good job and treated others well. We always put ourselves in a really good light. And whenever we think of how others have treated us, we think we should be treated better than maybe we have been. It's a normal process in the human mind. I don't know why it's a normal process, but I believe that it is. And it is certainly not how our Lord would have us to think. It's certainly not how He would have us to think, but it's also not how He would have us to act. I was fascinated in dealing with the young men that at the prison through the charity that I work with, that not a one of them have ever heard of the Golden Rule. And I was shocked by that. And when I spoke to those that I was working with, I was even more surprised because they had never heard of it either. And they said, "What's the Golden Rule?" And I said, "Well, how come you don't know this? Because these are people that are Christians." And I said, "This is what Jesus says, that you treat others as you want to be treated." Because it's not about treating others as we have been treated, but that's what goes on in the world today, and we see the mess that's taken place. It's about treating others as you want to be treated by them, regardless of how they've treated you. That you are to be the one that does the better job. And that's what we're looking at this evening in Matthew chapter 7. The idea of living out the gospel, of fulfilling the law. And Jesus says this in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 12. He says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." When Jesus is saying this, it's in the context of judgment. That's what he starts off with in verse 1. And he hasn't left that context. He hasn't left that thought process throughout this whole passage. It is about judgment. This first verse is probably the most quoted by those who are not Christians. "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And they think that they've got it right, and they don't have it right. They say, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." But he says, "For what judgment ye judge, you will be judged." But then he goes on and he says, "Why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye while you have a beam in your own eye?" You see, that's part of the same context about judgment. See, we judge harshly. We think of others harshly. We think of ourselves, we're the best. The world revolves around me. When we think of others, oh, they've got this wrong, and they've got this wrong, and they've done this, and you know what, they're off base over here. And we judge them harshly. But what Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't judge in that manner. First, take the beam, the big piece of wood that's sticking out of your eye, take that out. And then you'll be able to see clearly so that you can take the little tiny speck out of your brother's eye. Because it's okay to take the speck out of your brother's eye, as long as you have already taken out the great big piece of wood sticking out of your eye. You say, well, that's silly. No, no, it's not silly, it's hyperbole. It's exaggeration for the point of emphasis. He's saying that we walk around and we're so focused on other people's faults, other people's errors, that we don't see our own. And ours are pretty glaring. If we took any notice, we'd find them right away. First, we deal with those faults, that great big beam, that big, great big stick in your eye. Get rid of that. And then when you go to your brother, you're going to figure out that, you know what? Maybe my brother's motives aren't so bad. Maybe he's doing something that isn't quite nice, but maybe he doesn't realize it. And you approach your brother differently. And you help him with the speck in his own eye. You ever had something in your eye? You ever have a little speck in your eye? It feels like it's a great big beam, doesn't it? A great big thing sticking out of your eye. You can't focus on anything else because it hurts. Even if it's just a little speck of dirt. First, take care of what's in your eye before you go and try and take care of something in someone else's eye. That's the idea here. And it's the focus that Jesus gives us about judgment. And it's the focus that he says, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give your judgment over to other people. Judge yourselves first. Judge yourself first. And as you do, it's going to guide your actions. And this is the context that he comes into that we're focusing on this evening. When you think about this verse 12, where he says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Would you like to be treated by others the way you treat them? That's a good question, isn't it? If you sit down and think about it, do you want to be treated by your brother, by your sibling, by your friends, whomever it might be, by your enemy, the way you treat them? If you can say yes to that, wonderful. Most of us probably can't say yes to that. Most of us probably can't sit back and say, yep, the way I've treated this person is exactly how I want to be treated by them. But that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. You see, the problem with treating others in the manner that you've been treated, how you think you've been treated, is it's very self-centered. If you go through life and you say, you know what, I'm going to do unto them as they've done unto me, you're just focusing on yourself. You're focusing on your own needs. You're focusing on your everything is about you instead of anyone else. See, our expectations are that we should be treated well, that we should be treated nicely because we deserve it. Well, there's a problem there, isn't there? We don't deserve to be treated well. But our subjective mind says, well, you know, I've done a good job treating other people well. I don't know that everyone else would agree with that. We have to look at ourselves objectively and not subjectively. It's easy to misinterpret someone's intentions. It's easy to jump to conclusions about what someone's thinking when you have no idea what they're thinking. And you think, oh, they've treated me badly, and so I'm going to treat them just as badly. Well, that's, you started off on the wrong foot. You don't go into it thinking, well, they've done this to me. No, what should I do to them? How should I treat them? Well, Jesus says you should treat them as you have been treated. There is an objective standard here. It's how you want to be treated. You want to be treated nicely or do you want to be treated poorly? I think every one of us would say we want to be treated nicely. Well, then Jesus says that's how you act. That's how you behave. That's your motivation. If you think about verses 1 and 2, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's the negative. That's the way we do act. Well, the positive of that is verse 12. That's the opposite of it. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them. So in verses 1 and 2 he says, judge not, because you're going to be judged that way. He says, the way you want to be treated, that's what you do. Because that's exactly how you're going to be treated. Do you see the opposites there? That's what Jesus is talking about. It's the proper mindset that we have. And it is a change of the mind. It's a change of how we view ourselves and putting ourselves first, but instead putting others first. It's the mindset that Christ had. How have you been treated by him? Well, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look then, not every man after on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his mind? It says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Are the ifs of verse 1 true? Is there any consolation in Jesus Christ? Yes. Is there any comfort? Any love? Any fellowship of the Spirit? Any bowels and mercies? Yes. So what's the response then? Be like-minded. Like-minded to whom? Well, to one another, as we follow after Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What did he do? He treated others as he wanted to be treated. He treated me special when I was his enemy. How did he do that? Well, first off, he's God. And he decided to come to be a man. Not only did he come to be a man, he came to be a servant. And he humbled himself, became obedient to death, which he didn't deserve, even the death of the cross. And God's going to highly exalt him in his name. But you think about that. That's the mind that Paul says we should have. That I should sacrifice my needs. Jesus sacrificed his own glory for me. I should be able to sacrifice my own pride for somebody else. I should be able to sacrifice my time or whatever it may be for the betterment of someone else. Look after other people's things, but have the mind of Christ. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the person who's trying to get one over on you. Treat them well, and you may be surprised how they end up treating you. But see, the mind should then make the actions follow. Because you will approach your circumstances differently. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. You notice what Paul says. He's not caring about trying to gain something else at the sake of others. He's content. He's content with what he's got. It gives him joy. And there's times where he's low and he's content. And there's times where he's lifted up and he's content. It doesn't matter whether he's got a little or he's got a lot. He's content either way. Why? Because he recognizes whatever he does have, where has he gotten it? He's gotten it from the Lord, not from himself. And when you recognize that, you're going to approach things differently. And you're going to approach the things of others differently. So that you're gracious as he was gracious to you. So that when you have plenty, you're gracious to others. So that when you don't have much, you're gracious to others. And through it all, you can have strength in Christ. And so you approach things from a spiritual perspective. You approach people from that spiritual perspective. It's no longer, what am I going to get? It's never no longer, what am I going to receive? It's now, what am I going to do? It's hard to set aside, isn't it? It's hard to set aside ourselves. It's hard to set aside what we want. And so Jesus recognizes this. And he says, you know, you're thinking about the things that you want. You're thinking about the things you want. Now instead, think about other people in that manner. Think about doing those very things that you want to the other people. You can apply this in a lot of ways. What does it accomplish for you? What does it accomplish for you when you think about someone else first instead of yourself? Well, you're accomplishing the law. You're accomplishing the law and the prophets. He says in verse 12, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets." The entire Old Testament is summed up in this idea, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? You treat them as you want to be treated. You do for them as you would like it to be done unto you. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill them. And he's showing us how to fulfill those things. This is what he says in Matthew 22. "When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" This is the very thing that Jesus is saying here in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 7. All the law and the prophets, and when you're dealing with anyone else, hangs on this. Treat others as you want to be treated. It all hangs on that. Treat others as you want to be treated. Because if you're doing that, you're showing love. Because guess who it is the easiest to love? Yourself. It's easier to love yourself than it is anybody else. You're always going to look out for your best interests. So therefore, love others the way you love yourself. By doing this, you fulfill the law. So what should you do? Well, there's a number of things that you can do. You can take the advice or not. You can make a list of things that you like and a list of things you don't like. You have two columns. Here's the things I like it when people do this for me. Here's the things I don't like when people do this to me. And then you say, which one should I do to others? Oh, they've done all these to me. Should I try and get back at them for what they've done to me? Or should I do unto them what I like? The things that I enjoy. The things that please me, that make me feel good. And start to think about that. And try and act in that manner. And it may sound, why would I make a list? Because you see it on pen and paper. And you write it out. It's going to make a difference in the way you move and the way you behave. Pray. Ask God for help and guidance. Remember that according to Philippians, Christ gives you the strength. You're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. Ask Him to give you that help to walk and to follow after Him. And then this is the hard one. This is the real hard one. Be content no matter how you're treated. No matter what someone else does to you. No matter what you think you should be treated like. Be content. Say, you know what? It's all right. And have that contentment about your spirit. Because if you have that contentment about your spirit, you're going to approach that other person differently. You're going to approach the person that didn't treat you right in a different spirit, in a different mindset, because you're content. Because you recognize what God has done for you. You recognize what God has done for you, you're going to approach that other person differently. As you remember, Christ treated you in a way that you didn't deserve or even asked for. He's made you a new creation when you were His enemy. He's given you life when you were dead. He's given you forgiveness when you didn't deserve it. That's how we ought to be. That's how we can fulfill the law of love. That's how we can follow after Christ. It's not an easy recipe. It's not a simple manner of just saying, I'm going to do this. You have to think about it. You know, I frequently say that The greatest weapon Satan has in the world today is our distractions. It's the fact that we never stop and think about things. We never stop and think about the things that are important. We never stop and think about who we are and how we behave. We're always thinking about how somebody else treated me. But how do I behave? How do I move forward? Take some time. Give it some thought. Write some things down. Examine your own self. And say, am I honoring what Jesus Christ has done? Am I honoring the life that He lived? Am I honoring the death that He died? Am I honoring His Word? Am I honoring His Spirit by how I treat other people? Because the way He treated me was something special. The way He treated me was something different. And it ought to make us act and behave differently. And if it doesn't, then we ought to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. If the life and death of Jesus Christ hasn't made you a new creation, you need to come to Him first. And not be concerned about what other people are doing to you because you're in a rough enough state as it is. Come to Christ. Seek forgiveness at His feet. And then you're going to be able to approach someone else in a completely different light. And you're going to be able to treat them not how they've treated you, but how you want them to treat you. And when you do that, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference. And you're going to see it. It's going to be quite clear. It's not going to take a long time. And God will be honored and God will be praised. But it's only through His Son, Jesus Christ. We point you to Him. Amen.